Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, sir. Happy Friday. It is exceptional to have you in this morning. Alongside the four-time Pro Bowler, Lorenzo Neal, the always dapper and diligent, actually is the word we're going to go with these days after spotting Melvin the intern in that Dodger hat.
Thank you.
Dan Dibley. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. This is Mornings with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. We have got an exorbitant amount of information to sift through over the next hour, so buckle up. 30 minutes from now, Matt Bowen, seven-year NFL veteran, now with ESPN, he's going to join us to break down what just happened with the Niners, the Raiders, and he was in Chicago last night for the Trubisky selection, so we'll get his reaction. But we've got about 30 minutes of Raider coverage to get to before Bowen. And at 7:45, we'll transition to the Niners. Now, we want your calls if you want to weigh in on last night. 888-957-9570. I had the pleasure of doing the draft show with Papa and Bonte over at Fox Theater. Raider Nation was exceptional. I'm going to be honest. You put one in the air very early. We could smell it all over the place in the Fox Theater. But it was calm, cool, collected. There was some concern, well, with the team moving to Vegas, how would the fans react? Raider Nation was awesome last night. But when the Conley pick came down, sort of a hush fell over the crowd, and then eventually people made their way for the exits. Not exactly the reaction we were anticipating. So we want to hear from you today. Are the Raiders better than they were? Was the move too risky? Should Reggie have gone in a different direction? 888-957-9570. But before all that, here's Dibs with your update.
And the top story, Joe, a fantastic day one of the NFL draft. The Niners pull off a coup in the first round. They trade back from number two to number three. They get a few picks and also are able to draft Solomon Thomas. Then they move up back into the first round and get Reuben Foster from Alabama, and he's already looking forward to playing with Navarro Bowman.
It'll be great, man. Learn from a good vet, a great vet, man. Just pick his brain and just be able to just come in and just make a big impact, just working hard, man. Just really showing what I'm capable of and just showing my passion about the sport, for real.
The Raiders select Garyon Conley from Ohio State at number 24, the player under investigation in Cleveland after he was accused of rape. He has not been charged. He expects to meet with police on Monday. More on the draft straight ahead. Story number two, the Dodgers are up for four in the 10th. They beat the Giants 5-1, splitting that four-game set. The only run batted in from Christian Arroyo, and Bruce Bochy knows the lineup has to get going.
Except for Christian, who really got a nice clutch hit there. But, the pen's been doing a pretty good job. Yeah, he scored one run. It's tough to win ball games.
Amen.
Is that God?
Amen to that. You need driving some runs. Jeff Samardzija, by the way, looking for his first win of the year tonight against San Diego. Over-under, Joe, on runs for the Giants tonight. I'll put the line at 0.5.
I'll go under. I'll lay the minus 200 on the under there. Good God. Christian Arroyo's looking good, though. He is looking good. He's every bit as good as advertised, Dibs.
The offense is certainly struggling. The A's, by the way, get swept in Anaheim, losing the finale 2-1. Jarrell Cotton goes against Charlie Morton today. The A's taking on Houston. 4:15, your dugout show here on 95.7 The Game. The update brought to you by Bank of the West. In a changing world, you need a local bank with global strength. Bank of the West. I'm Dan Dibley. On your home of the Warriors, we may find out their next opponent tonight. Clippers and Jazz playing game 6. All your Warriors action right here on 95.7 The Game.
Great stuff, Dibs. Phone calls, 888-957-9570. You're lighting up the line, so we're going to go ahead and put you through. Let's set the stage first, however. Pick number 24. Your Oakland Raiders select Garyon Conley, 6 feet, 195 pounds, out of Ohio State University. Last season, he allowed a grand total of 14 receptions to be completed when thrown his way. Process that. Dude played, 15 games? Gave up 14 completions. Baller. Lowe, strictly from a football perspective, Gary and Conley, how good is this kid?
Kick and play, lockdown corner, shooter. The guy can make things happen. You watch his ability to run, his ability to stop and go, redirect. He's a good corner. He's ball hawk, know how to get out there and read different coverages, knowing where the receivers, he runs routes for him. This is a guy that can step in and have an immediate impact on the game, even on this level, Joe. They got a hell of a player. They got a player that can play right now.
Football production standpoint, he can start. Not fill in, but start.
Sure.
So now there's going to be some adjustments coming as it pertains to David Amerson and Sean Smith. More on that in a bit. But problem with Conley being available at 24 is because about 48 hours prior, word got out that he was being investigated for sexual assault. That's what caused the drop. And if the Raiders don't take him at 24, the case could be made. That drop continues well into the second round, possibly the third. So you've got to feel very comfortable with your research. Phones are open to you, 888-957-9570. Are you comfortable with the pick? There were other corners out there. Are you comfortable with the pick? Reuben Foster was out there. Dibs, how did it strike you?
It struck me as a shock, and I'm not comfortable with the pick. I don't get paid to make the pick. My opinion on the matter doesn't count other than the fact that I have a radio show, but I thought that they would have showed more restraint. Obviously, they did their due diligence, and they feel confident that these charges won't stick. But if this thing drags out at all, if the player's unavailable, who knows what can happen in the legal system. I was just a little bit concerned at the pick, especially considering there are other players in his position who would have been available, more of a safe choice. If the charges get cleared up and he's able to play untethered by any legal haranguing, he's going to be a great player. Everyone who's scouted him says the same thing, that he's a terrific athlete and a great player. So it's just a risky pick, that's all.
Melvin the intern, apparently, is the first one on the lines this morning. Melvin the intern, welcome to the program. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I was. I just wanted to let you guys know that I was at game four as well yesterday, and I'm taking the under on any Giants.
Hang up on this fool. That's enough of Melvin the intern calling in to talk about the Dodgers.
That's a classic case of sophomore jinx there. His
Melvin,
rookie debut was so good.
Man, there we go.
Put an egg in your size 18, exactly.
Beat it, Melvin.
You know, that's on the call screener.
Have a nice weekend. We do like you, but beat it. Egg, shoe, beat it. Back to reality. Luis in Oakland, thank you for calling the program to talk about the Raiders. Please go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So real quick, so I'm looking at the pick of Conley, and even though it's done, I would rather myself had picked up Peppers. I think he was more of a stud, and we could have used him overall-wise. But since we got Conley, what you guys think about Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, right? Big safety, little safety. We moved Sean Smith, so he don't have, you know, too much footwork. Moving back to the safety with him and Carl Joseph being back there, I mean, they already had the coach and Ken Norton, so he kind of would similar know how to work with them together and have Amerson and Conley as our corners. TJ Carey as our slot corner, you know, as guarding the slot receivers. And, I mean, yeah, what you guys think about that?
Luis, appreciate the phone call. That's a great angle. Lo, I'm coming right to you. Someone's got to make some room here. You've got Amerson, you've got Smith, but now you brought in Gary and Conley, who will be a starting cornerback, assuming the legal matter works itself out. So do you move Smith to safety? You got to get something out of that $10 million a year salary. Would safety be the natural move?
Yeah, I think he just woke up because earlier I've said that this morning on the show, I said move him to safety. Sean Smith, move him to safety. He's big, he's physical, he's long. He can play against the run, he can play in the box. You're absolutely right. That's what I think that they're going to do. I think that you can do that now because you have a better lockdown corner and you still get Sean Smith on the field. He can still cover who? The tight end. So now he can come down in the box and cover the tight end more. So I think that that is a good move for the Raiders moving forward. I think you will see that.
Let's just process this for a moment when we're trying to figure out whether or not Gary and Conley was the right decision based on what's happened off the field. The Raiders are sitting here at 24. It's not as if this deep cornerback class had been depleted. If anything, the corners fell last night. Marshawn Lattimore, Ohio State, he was supposed to be the top corner in the draft. He was regarded as a top five pick. He fell to what? New Orleans at 11, I think it was? They all got pushed back. So here come the Raiders at 24. Yep. Reuben Foster, inside linebacker, is available. Tre'Davious White, corner out of LSU, is available. Kevin King, corner out of Washington, available. And so is Gary and Conley. With all those options on the board, with your team headed in the right direction, with everything clicking the way it's supposed to for the Oakland Raiders, why would Reggie and Jack go out there and make this pick if there was any chance whatsoever that Conley was going to be arrested, prosecuted, and either thrown in jail or suspended from the NFL? I can't see them doing it. I see the organization being so close. I see Reggie as having made so many good decisions. And I know the first thing that happens when I say that is people look for the negative. Right, we can look to certain misses on picks or certain misses in signings. Some would say Sean Smith hasn't panned out. But I'll point to Gabe Jackson and Khalil Mack and Derek Carr and Amari Cooper and a lot of good moves. Michael Crabtree, you name it. KO was a hell of a player last year. In Reggie, we trust. He's made a lot of great decisions. So with all that being said, why, when you're so close and there's so much talent available, would you take this risk if you weren't damn near sure he's going to be clear to these charges?
You wouldn't. You wouldn't make that risk. But these things, these legal situations have ways of playing out in their own way. And there's only so much due diligence you can do when trying to find out whether or not you're going to take this player. It's not like you could go and talk to the victim. It's not like you could go and investigate and examine the rape kit that was given on April 9th when this incident reportedly happened. Basically, you have a chance to talk to the player and ask him what happened. He gives you his version. He reportedly took a lie detector as well. And you have your security staff, Lo. You've mentioned it many times, and you're absolutely right. And they investigate as much as they can about the player and the incident. But ultimately, there is still that sliver of unknown. You don't know what's going to happen, and you really don't know what sort of evidence there is and whether or not charges will be put forward. So as much as, yeah, in Reggie we trust, and I get that, there still is an element of the unknown to this.
Lo, take me through it. When the Raiders say they've done their due diligence, they've done their investigative homework, what does that mean?
Well, the Raiders probably called the league for one. You have a head of security. And matter of fact, I'm going to look through my phone and try to have someone come on that was head of security in San Diego. Doesn't work necessarily for the team, but he's a liaison in that city that works for the NFL that still works with the Chargers. So when I was with the Chargers, and every team that I was on, you have a guy that's from the league that's in the city. And all he does is he works with that organization, those football, but he reports to the league about different players and different things that's going on. So without a doubt, this Raider organization did their due diligence. You can't afford to use a 24th pick in the draft to go and try to get a guy that you think is going to go away for a long time, because if you rape a woman, this is a horrible offense. So I believe that they did their due diligence. I believe that they talked to the league. I believe not just that, they have sat down with the police investigators on this story and having behind the scenes, there's a lot going on. Because Reggie wouldn't jeopardize this organization, the credibility and all those different things that goes on with the, that goes on in the league. Because like you alluded to, they're so close. So when you ask the question why, is because they've done their due diligence. Why? Because they looked it on the board and said, here's a top 10 player that we believe that is innocent, that believe is going to be acquitted of these wrong, this horrible, ferocious act. So we're going to look at this, and we're going to make a list, and they're going to do it, and they're going to make sure that this guy's not guilty before they pull the trigger on this. So I think that Reggie and his staff and Jack Del Rio and NFL security and everything that goes along with this, they have a pretty good idea and a good handle on this, or they would not have made that decision.
If Gary and Conley is cleared, the Raiders just won the first round. Forget about the Niners. The Raiders just won the first round. They just got a top 10 pick at selection number 24. Kansas City traded from 27 to 10, gave up a first rounder next year and a third rounder this year, plus the first rounder they had, they switched, to come up and get Patrick Mahomes, who's not even going to play this season. The Raiders got a top 10 at 24 without trading up if he's found innocent of all this. That's a big-time move. That's a win in the first round. That's a guy who comes in and starts for you at pick number 24 at a position you desperately needed to upgrade. Jack, in Cordelia, how do you feel about the Raiders' selection last night? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I think the Raiders just pulled a fast one on the entire league. I mean, go back to, I don't know about pre-1999, but you can't name me one player the Raiders have signed since 1999 when Fred Biletnikoff's daughter, you know, her tragedy happened. ever since that day, Al Davis came out and said the Raiders will never sign a player guilty of domestic violence. And Mark Davis said the same thing when Greg Harding was available. He squashed it publicly. So they would look extremely foolish to have that stance as an organization and make this pick if they didn't know something that we don't. So, I mean, I think when he says they did their due diligence, there's all kinds of things. I mean, there's cameras. There's just, you know, sitting down with a young kid and saying, did you do it? Look me in the eye, and if you say you did it, then we're not going to sign you. If you say you don't do it and then you're found guilty at some point, we're going to cut you, and we're going to look really bad for cutting our first-round pick as an organization. So I just think with all of that, I think the Raiders knew what they were doing, or they wouldn't have done it.
This is a great call. I really appreciate what you said, because every time you walk in a hotel, especially when the team brings you in, like I told you, they put me in a 5-star hotel on my recruiting trips when I was a free agent, got to stay in, you know, the finest hotels. There's cameras in all the hotels, in the elevator. Hell, we had an intern here tear up a camera.
I remember that kid?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Exactly. So because they want to see everything. So they're going to watch this young lady on the way out of that hotel, the room. Did she look distraught? Did she look mangled? All the different things that goes into this investigation. It's no way that these officers are going to just sit here and say, without making sure they're going to do their due diligence. That's why they didn't say, oh, he's just innocent. They're going through a process. But don't tell me they don't have cameras on the elevator. Did he grab her and pull her out of the elevator? Did he grab her and pull her into the room? Because there's cameras in those elevators, in those hallways of the hotel. So I really believe there's more to this. And I think that's why I think the Raiders had to go through their due diligence, or this would have been a foolish move for them to pick this individual.
The Biletnikoff angle is fantastic, because why would you throw that away on some kid who's never played a snap in the National Football League? Like, to have that stance against domestic violence for so long, and then in 2017 you decide, oh, you know what, this kid from Ohio State who's never even played a down in the NFL, we'll go ahead and throw it all down the toilet for him. I don't really see that happening.
And what's that running back, Joe, that you said from Florida that had already a wrap sleeve and they're trying to destroy him?
Florida State. Are you talking about Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, Dalvin Cook. Now, if it's a guy like that, unfortunately, maybe he would have been innocent. But I don't think the Raiders take that chance on him. The Raiders also talked about, here's this guy that had no black pass, no anything that he did that's shown that this is his type of behavior. So they even did further than that. If this is a Dalvin Cook, I think that you see the Raiders would have passed, because they wouldn't give him the benefit of the doubt. But they looked into this young man's past and said, this guy has been an outstanding citizen, an outstanding role model. So this situation, they're looking at each situation differently, and I think that had a lot of bearing on this decision as well.
Rob in Fremont, thank you for calling the program. What did you think of the Raiders draft last night?
I think Reggie McKenzie, he's built up enough equity to take this kind of risk, but it comes to, like, it's like a scary world we live in, because this happens so frequently. Like, it's And subconsciously, me being a black man, I have the initial thought that, man, he messed up. Or, you know what I mean, you're guilty as charged. And then when you speak of it and you start referring to the victim as a victim instead of an alleged victim, it's a very slippery slope. So I'm just thinking Reggie McKenzie's smart enough to know what he's doing. He's earned this right to make this pick, because we're so close. If we can get a player that could flip the field for us and do all those things, take the ball away, we got to do it.
Great phone call. I really don't see the organization, and specifically Reggie McKenzie, throwing away all the recent success on a coin flip. Like, I can't see them going, you know what, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Let's just go ahead. He's too good. Let's make the pick and we'll deal with it later. I don't see that happening, especially when you had Tre'Davious White and other players out there you could have taken. Reuben Foster was there. And maybe you don't like Reuben Foster, fine. But there were linebackers. There were corners. It's not as if the draft was out of players. You had several dudes who can come in and start
some
for
great
you.
Picks.
And
left.
You still right? took this guy. You've got to be feeling pretty good about that. You really do.
Yeah, I just was reading something that Ian Rappaport had put up about the fact that the Raiders did exhaustive research into investigating what happened with Gary and Conley. And so obviously Reggie McKenzie and company felt very confident about the way this is going to get resolved. I just think that the pick itself is risky and maybe too risky. I'm hoping it works out okay for Gary and Conley and everyone involved and for the Raiders, and that he goes on to be a great player.
Stone in Walnut Creek, thank you for calling the show. Your thoughts on the first round for the Raiders last night? Stone.
Wake up, Stone. Wake
stoned.
Up.
Stoned. Should it be stoned with a D at the end?
He's stoned.
Reggie in Philly. Great to hear from you. Reggie, your thoughts on the pick last night?
I like the pick. I don't love the pick. And I got three main reasons. One is what Dibs outlined with it being risky. And listen, I ride with Reggie McKenzie. I ride with him. He's earned that. I ride with him till the ship will go down. But remember, they did their so-called due diligence on Alden Smith, too. And where's he at? He hasn't played another down for him ever since he got suspended. Two, your point, Joe. If the need was a slot corner, you still had a bunch of guys at slot corner you could have gotten the second round. You had Reuben Foster sitting on a board that could have solidified your defense. I mean, you're worried about his injury history. Remember, they took Carl Joseph last year, and he was coming off of ACL. So I don't think the injury history should have scared him away with a talent that's that good with such a glaring need in your defense. And the third reason why, I just can't get that Michigan tape out of my head, man. Amar Darboh killed Gary and Conley in that game, and he got away with a pass interference that should have been called, that should have cost him the game. I just can't get that tape out of my head. I mean, like I said, I like the pick, I just don't love it.
Reggie, that is tremendous stuff. Anytime you call in with college football analysis, you get bumped to the front of the line on this program. He's right. And one of the knocks on Conley, despite the fact that he only gave up 14 receptions last year, is that he's in the Big Ten. Big Ten isn't exactly loaded with receivers.
This is true.
Do you see Big Ten receivers flying off the board yesterday? No, you saw Western Michigan's Corey Davis, John Ross from Washington, and Mike Williams from Clemson. Oh, by the way, with Phillip Rivers. You needed another corner. Did you see what your competition did yesterday? Then the Chargers added another
receiver.
Weapon. Keenan Allen's coming back healthy next year. Tennessee went out there and got a wide receiver. You play them in week one. Whew. And then you got Andy Reid trading up for Patrick Mahomes. That was great. Oh, that was great. I'll tell you, I know a lot of people are trying to zero in on why they would have passed on Reuben Foster. I think there's something to that. Don't get me wrong. I like what the Niners did yesterday. I think between the trades and the players they picked, they're moving in the right direction, and they're a better organization today than they were yesterday. But there's a reason Reuben Foster fell, and it's not necessarily because of what happened at the combine, right? It's not necessarily because of what happened at the combine. There is something, don't compare him to Rolando McClain, but look at the system in which he plays at Alabama. And this is the same thing that happens with running backs at Alabama. Everyone tries to figure out why Derrick Henry, TJ Yeldon, Trent Richardson, Eddie Lacy, even to an extent Mark Ingram, who was a first-round pick, why these guys don't necessarily meet expectations. It's because you're running behind the best offensive line in college football. Of course you're going to look good. Then you get drafted into the NFL. You're not running behind as great an offensive line. The holes aren't 15 feet wide for you to run through. And suddenly, you need to make it rain on talent. And it doesn't show up as much as it did at Alabama. That's why these running backs are always overdrafted. To an extent, you have to have that concern with the linebackers. Reuben Foster on tape is a beast. Sideline to sideline, his speed and his instincts are unquestionable. But remember something. He's playing behind the best defensive line in all of college football. They are eating up blocks. They are causing havoc with offensive lines. He is clean and free to run all over the field. What happens if the 49ers defensive line can't eat up those blocks and the guards and running backs are able to get to the second level and get a body on Reuben Foster? How good is he then? Can he stack and shed? Can he still make plays? Because when you're running free, it's one thing. When you've got bodies on you, it's a completely different story.
You're spot on, but that's why they went out and got Solomon. You're talking about a guy that can play the three technique. You're talking about a guy that's going to grub and hold guys off. When you grub, that means you hold the center and the guard, grub both those guys, and now you let that linebacker go downhill. I played against the Hall of Famer, and you guys know Ray Lewis is probably one of the best linebackers that they say that ever played the game. But with Siragusa and those big guys, Hanada, all those cats, that what they do, they held the offensive lineman and let Ray get downhill. He did not want to take on lead blockers. He did not want to take on those type of deals.
And that, you say Ray Lewis was soft?
No, I'm just saying.
That's a hot take.
But
get him off mic. He'll tell you. Ray tried to cut him once. They had a chance to go one-on-one for a tackle, and Ray cut his legs out. He didn't want to run head-on in the low.
Pretty much. But that's the kind of
big dome.
But that's the kind of guys that the Niners went out and said. They said, we're going to make sure that we can get this guy free so he fits their system. So that's why you want it. You know, Joe, you talked about how Reuben can run. He's a down-here guy, sideline to sideline.
Oh, he's fast.
But now if you keep those guys off of him, then you can see him shine. The Raiders looked at it and says, our need is a corner. We know that. We've seen what Sean Smith is. He's a guy, long, tall, doesn't necessarily have the best feet. He can run. So now we can move a guy back to safety. Him and Nelson can move off and on. He can cover a tight end because he's bigger. So I think that the Raiders' need was more of a corner.
If you're on hold, stay on hold if you want to hang around. We're going to be taking calls all day. Up next, he was the man drafted one spot before Tom Brady. Good friend of the program, Matt Bowen, in Chicago last night for the Trubisky pick. He's going to break down that plus the Raiders and the Niners next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Lo'Neal flustered. Family issues.
He got me praying over here. Who knew? Who saw that coming?
Amen. Thank you.
Give me a moment. I love it when it spills on air.
I got an atheist praying for me. How about that? Thank you, Dibs.
Do I point up?
Yes,
point up. I'm used to pointing down. What's wrong with me?
Yeah, you really got to start this at level one with Dibs.
Maybe hands together, right?
Maybe over some quinoa one day.
Something.
He's a seven-year NFL veteran. He does outstanding work for ESPN Now. You can follow him on Twitter, at Matt Bowen. 41, Matt Bowen joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Bo, you see, this is why the Cubs can't win the World Series, because if they do, the Blackhawks fall apart and the Bears end up with Trubisky.
I'll tell you what, when the Bears made the move last night to trade up, because at first, you know, the reports came out that they were trading back in three, and I understood that. I think everyone here in Chicago expected that quarterback was going to be on the table in this draft. And I thought they were moving back to get Deshaun Watson. But when they trade up and they go to grab Mitchell Trubisky, I think everyone was really surprised. My phone blew up. You know, I got guys like Brewster and stuff asking me questions and trying to work. And Bears fans are surprised. But I'll tell you this. I understand what they're doing. It's a steep price. I think it was a great move for the 49ers. Outstanding move for John Lynch in this first draft. Outstanding. But I think what the Bears are trying to do is they're trying to hit a home run, Joe. If you look at the history of this football team in this town, their inability to draft and to develop the quarterback position has always been an issue. That's why they had to go out this year and pay $18.5 million guaranteed to get Mike Glennon. And then now they're going out and giving up a lot of draft picks and move up one spot for Mitchell Trubisky. They're trying to hit a home run. They're trying to figure out the quarterback position. Ryan Pace wants a guy they can develop. Now, can he develop? That's the question. You know, because you can't blame Bears fans if they say, well, I don't like the pick. They gave up too much. I don't know if he could play. He only had 13 starts. I can tell you what I've seen on film. Watch him play against Miami. Watch him play against Florida State. And watch him against Stanford. Even the game against Stanford, he had two picks where he didn't read the safeties. That's stuff he has to learn. But his ability to come back, his ability to play under pressure and make NFL throws with 4-6 speed, I understand, Joe. There's a lot of tools there you can work with. Okay, but this is always going to come back to what they gave up to go up one spot to get him. And that's going to be really the resume of general manager Ryan Pace. It has to work. It has to work, Joe. You know what's going to happen here. They're going to hit the reset button and start over again.
I think my favorite, this might just be personal, but I think my favorite storyline of the first round is J.J. Watt's brother landing in Pittsburgh, because your cousin, the big Puma, hates J.J. Watt, and Pittsburgh and Houston are going to play each other, so that means the Watt brothers will be against each other, and the families will probably wear the split jerseys. Puma hates right. The split jerseys. It's a fantastic angle.
It's a fantastic angle, because I'll be with Puma on Christmas, so that's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting for sure. But I'll tell you what, speaking of the 49ers, I love the draft picks. Solomon Thomas, you watch him against Notre Dame, watch him that Sun Bowl game against UNC and Trubisky. He takes over. He takes over as an interior pass rusher. I think that's what 49ers fans have to understand. Don't worry about where he's going to play in the base. They'll figure that out. If it's a 3-4, they'll find a spot for him. They play multiple fronts, one gap defense. They'll find a spot for him to produce in that base system. But when you draft a guy, especially in the top five, you're looking at upside and how he can impact what I call money downs in the NFL. That's third down. Can he get home to the quarterback? I think he's going to give them so much versatility on the defensive line to create inside matchups. Put him over the guard. Put him over the center as a nose. Let him get up the field. He's extremely powerful, extremely athletic, quick bursts off the ball. I love his hands at the point of attack. That's a great draft pick. And Reuben Foster, I can watch tape all day on this guy. That's how you play linebacker. That's exactly how you play linebacker. Watch him against USC. Watch him against Deshaun Watson and Clemson. The way he hits, the way he tracks the football, his closing speed to the football, I think he's a three-down player, but really it's the physicality, the toughness. If I'm putting together a defense, that's the guy I want at linebacker.
Matt, I couldn't agree with you more when you went through and so eloquently put together about the guys that the Niners got.
What about the Puma part? You like that, too?
Of course. The Puma.
He saw him in Vegas not too long ago.
The Puma CV second. Puma's second to none. We know that, man. We know that, man. He's second to none. But when you think about it, getting back on Solomon, what they got in this young man, do you think when you looked at that draft, far as a guy that could play the three, the five, the wide nine, play the DN, was he one of? Did he just jump off the board? Wasn't he the most complete, you think, line and more versatile defensive lineman in that draft?
Well, I think in terms of production, yes. In terms of upside, everyone's going to say Myles Garrett, and that's why Myles Garrett went number one, because he's got the bigger frame, and I think he has more perceived upside. But you can't say that Thomas is that far behind when you talk about athleticism. He tested very well. I think he ran 4.69, 40 at, 273?
Yeah.
275? That's moving. That's moving. So at the end of the day, whenever I look at defensive players, especially in the draft, there's a couple things. Can you get tougher? Can you get more physical? That's why I love Foster. Can you create matchups? Okay, that's why Jabril Peppers won the first round of Greg Williams for matchups. Exactly why. And with Solomon Thomas, it's matchups. It's inside matchups. Look what Aaron Donald does for the Rams. Okay? If you have an interior passer, I think they're so hard to find. They're so hard to find right now, is to find that interior passer so you can get up the field. And like you said, Lo, to play outside, play the wide nine, play the five and the 3-4, align the seven technique, whatever it is, he can do a lot of things. But at the end of the day, those matchups inside, and those things are so valuable.
Former NFL safety Matt Bowen joining us here on 95.7 The Game, currently with ESPN. The Raiders used the number 24 pick to select Garyon Conley out of Ohio State. He's embroiled in a bit of a problem right now, accused of rape. What did you make of the selection, and what can you tell our listeners about how good this player is?
Well, I can tell what I've watched on film. He's a first-round talent all day. He played with Marshawn Lattimore, played with Malik Hooker, excellent safety. I mean, out of Ohio State. That's an awesome secondary in Columbus. With Conley, he's got length. He's got the best transition speed of all the DBs I watch. When I talk about transition speed, what I mean by that is, can you backpedal and break in the football? Can you open your hips as a zone defender and sink and break in the football? Can you transition from a press man position to break in the football? That's where he's at his best. That's where he's at his best. I think he's a good fit for that defense. I think he can come in and play immediately. He might be the number three corner to start. We'll see how he does in camp. But all the specific traits you look for at the cornerback position, he has them. There's no question about that.
Bo, final question for you. Joe Mixon, how much farther do you think he's going to fall? You think he could be one of the first guys off the board today? I'm asking selfishly because I have under 46.5.
Well,
I'm sure you're not surprised.
Round, anyone who has off-the-field concerns, red flags, character issues, however you want to term it, this is when those guys start to come off the board on day two. This is what happens. And you don't see as many in the first round, but in day two, this is when the guys who have that first-round talent, because I think everyone who's watched Mixon play knows he's a first-round running back, this is the time they start to come off the board. So to get your bet, Joe.
Packers, first pick.
Well, you know, Dalvin Cook's there, too. I mean, I was surprised Dalvin Cook is still on the board. Dalvin Cook's had excellent film. You watch him at Florida State. Watch the Clemson game.
Yeah.
I mean, watch him in the Orange Bowl against Michigan. So there's a lot of good I'll be honest. Everyone loves the first round. I understand that. This is my favorite part of the draft, day two, rounds two and three. There's so many talented players out there, so many guys that don't get maybe the deserved hype that the first rounders get, but they are your core football players. They're going to play 7-8 years in the league. Really good talent tonight. I love watching Friday night of the draft.
What about round six? That's where you made it rain one pick before Tom Brady.
Man, round six, no one was watching that thing. I had to call my friends. I had to call my friends and tell them I was drafted.
Seven-year.
True story. When I got drafted, you know, it was so late. And back then, it was Saturday and Sunday. So this is like 5 o'clock on Sunday, man. People getting ready for work week. And I called my buddies and told them I got drafted. They showed up with a 30-pack of PBR, and that's what it was, man. That was our, that was our draft party.
Awesome.
What a draft party.
Seven-year NFL vet. He does awesome stuff with ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter, at MattBowen41. Matt Bowen with Joe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Thank you, Bo. Always appreciate the time. Tell the family I said hello.
All right, thank you.
I love it. He's got a scout's eye, but he's got a player's sense of humor.
He's great.
He is funny.
No joke. He was a sick athlete coming out of, I think, Glenbard West, just outside of Chicago. Baseball, basketball, football, recruited as a quarterback to play at Iowa, started as a quarterback, converted to safety, and in his draft class of all the safeties, he made it second longest. There was only one other safety that lasted longer than he did. Whoever it was is a star safety. It's slipping my mind at the moment, but the safety that lasted longer than him was big time.
Played with heart. That's what Matt lasted as long as he did, Joe, because of his heart, and he wasn't afraid of you.
Hard worker.
Yep. He'd get in there, and he's going to mix it up. You knew it wasn't going to be lack of effort, and that's all. You can't teach that.
His cousin, the Big Puma, different story. He'll show you a heart, but it'll be at the seafood buffet at Caesars. I'll tell you that much right now. All right, Niner Nation, Niner fans, Raider Nation, we're taking your calls. We're moving forward. We got to break down these trades that took place last night with San Francisco. Good Lord, the Niners were active. What's next? Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Joe, Lo, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you in. If anyone's got some free time tomorrow, come hang out with me in Dublin at the Wallace Ranch Kindred House. I'm going to be there from 11 to 3 with music and prizes, including autographed memorabilia, baseball tickets, movie tickets, and more. Wallace Kindred House is located at 4201 Wallace Ranch Drive in Dublin. For full details, visit the events page at 957thegame.com. Nothing on there about a keg or an open bar.
I'm sure you'll have a flask with you.
Yeah.
Like any good radio performer would.
I'm going to roll in with a 30-pack.
A PBR.
Make an early statement. Just set it down and sit on it while pounding it.
Just like Bowen's draft party. A 30-pack of PBR.
I'm surprised it was PBR. Usually you would think he would go with the old style.
Right.
You'd think he'd go with the old style. But PBR, good for him as a 6-round pick, one spot before Tom Brady. All right. We've broken down the Raiders, and we're going to get to more on that in a bit, but it's time to look at what John Lynch and the 49ers did last night, because if you wake up this morning and you're looking for analysis, you will notice that most view the 49ers as the biggest winners of the first round. They traded from 2 to 3 with the Chicago Bears, and in the process, picked up 2 third-rounders and a fourth. Then they smelled blood in the water at the end of the first round, jumped back in by making a trade with Seattle, grabbed Reuben Foster in what amounted to just giving up one of the picks they had acquired from the Bears, and boom, just like that, your defense is better. Solomon Thomas from Stanford up front, Reuben Foster from Alabama right behind him. And now you roll into day two with 9 picks left to party with over the next couple days. Dibs, is it hard to even try to nitpick what the Niners did? Because I've tried to figure out a way to play devil's advocate here, but bottom line, they look like they had a very nice start to the Shanahan-Lynch era.
According to the GM, John Lynch, they got 2 of the top 3 players on their board, and to do so without having 2 of the first 3 picks in the draft, that's truly impressive. You get a guy you love at number 3, Solomon Thomas, and you're able to get Reuben Foster at 31. That's a complete masterstroke. They could see that Reuben Foster was starting to slide. Heck, all of Alabama was on the slide. Nick Saban in real trouble in Alabama here now with the performance of his picks last night.
Well, that leads me right into that take. That leads me right into that take, because if I'm recruiting against Nick Saban, I'm going to every one of those players and I'm saying, you aren't going to do as well as everyone thinks you are. Every single Alabama player slid last night, according to projections. O.J. Howard, top Titan tight end, where did he go? Slid all the way to Tampa Bay. Reuben Foster slid to the end of the first round. Cam Robinson, offensive tackle, slid out of the first round. Jonathan Allen, top 5 pick, slid down to like 16. If you're recruiting against Nick Saban, you go show recruits, hey, he's going to tell you he can get you to number 1, number 2, number 3. You're going to slide. That's the way to play Nick Saban moving forward.
And moving forward, like you just alluded to, it goes to show you when you're that good, and you're that dominant of an organization or a college organization, it hurts you. Because you think about the kids that's coming out of Alabama, what has happened? They've always getting a knock now because they get in the league and they don't perform as well. So what happens? Now they're saying, look, you can go there and win a title, but if you want to really win and win in the draft further, you better think about going to a school that you're not necessarily, that you're the really superstar and they can see your talent, because in Alabama, there's too many great players and not a lot of guys get go draft.
That, and Saban runs his guys into the ground. these Alabama guys, when they come into the NFL, they are worn down and banged up. You're getting damaged goods with a lot of these dudes. But, Dibs, we took you right off your tangent there.
No,
sorry about that.
There was no tangent. I mean, you talk about nitpicking the 49ers, and it's difficult to do when they say they got two of the top three players on their draft board, and you move up to 31 and you pick up additional picks. It's an unbelievable night. And you look at the players they got, Solomon Thomas, a local kid who's going to make a big impact. Reuben Foster, I know there's some question about his shoulder, whether or not he'll need additional surgery, but all the scouts rave about his ability to go sideline to sideline. And Niner fans would love a chance to see another great, epic Hall of Fame caliber linebacker.
When everything shakes down and you analyze the movements up and back of the Niners, the picks they acquired and the players they acquired, this is what it boils down to. They moved up a grand total of two spots because they slid back one for Solomon Thomas, but up three for Reuben Foster. So they were plus two in movement. They acquired number 67 overall, which is a third rounder, and they picked up a third round pick in 2018 to go along with Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. Here's John Lynch on the two players the Niners picked up last night.
Extremely productive day. I can tell you right off the bat that we had a board, as you guys heard the other day, with just under 200 players. And in terms of how we rated them, we got two of our top three players.
Two of their top three players, and they also came away with more picks. They got nine more picks in this draft. Now, none in the second round, but they've got two back-to-back in the third, 66 and 67. But they've got nine more picks in this draft, and they picked up an additional one for next year already. Looking pretty good. Where do you see them going moving forward? They address linebacker. They address defensive line. What would be next?
I think also you got to look and see, is there another big man? Because when you look at what they did going after the guys that they did, Solomon's a big guy, but Solomon, you can let him play the three, but you still want another guy some more meat because he can win some one-on-one matchups. See, Solomon, yeah, you can let him play the double team. He can handle double team. He can do a lot of that. But I want to move this guy around up and down that offensive line, up and down that defensive line, because he can beat and he can get a mismatch for you. So look for them to get another guy beefy, because when you think about Buckner, who they got last year from Oregon, he's a big, strong guy too. So now you got two guys in that middle. Go get to another guy. So you're looking to continue to build. So I can see this team still looking at more defensive guys, continue to strengthen that defensive line. And also, you can look at this team and look at some secondary as well.
All right, we've got Deshaun Watson, quarterback off the board. We've got Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback off the board. We've got Patrick Mahomes, quarterback off the board. Dibs, what's the likelihood that quarterback will be a target for the Niners sometime in the next couple days based on what's left in terms of their picks and from the supply pool?
I don't think that it's going to be a priority for them. You mentioned that they're going to select 66 and 67. You would bet that Deshaun Kizer and Davis Webb are both gone by then. So now you're getting into middling quarterback prospects. And right now, the situation you have with the 49ers, you've already got two pretty mediocre guys. You don't want to throw a third mediocre quarterback to the mix. I think the better strategy would be to take somebody very late, sixth or seventh round, somebody who maybe you can hope to develop. It didn't work out with Jeff Driskel last year. You hope the new regime with Shanahan there, much better job of teaching and coaching up quarterbacks. But I would not expect them to take those two third-round picks and try to move into the second round to take one of those two guys I mentioned.
Do you see them getting active, trying to get back up into the second round?
Yeah, I think that they could possibly, Joe, look at that secondary and go ahead and trade those two picks and look at the secondary. And here's the thing. You have two backup quarterbacks on the team. So I wouldn't say if you can't make that trade, if you can't get back in get in the second round for a bona fide player do you think can impact your team right away as a starter, I look at that third and fourth round, Joe, yeah, if it's getting a quarterback for this reason. You already got two backup quarterbacks that are in the latter part of their career. That one of them is going to be off the roster next year, even if you decide to go get the kid from USC, who's probably going to be the number one quarterback. So now you can go and say, I have a young guy. I'm going to keep one of my backups, because you usually keep both teams keep three quarterbacks. One of these two veterans next year won't be on the team. So go ahead and draft a young guy and let him start the process of learning behind one of these veterans that's going to start, that's going to hold it down. And then that following year, next year, when you draft that franchise guy, You still have now your two or three is still a young guy, so it gives you a little bit more leverage. So look for the 49ers to get active in that fourth round, third or fourth round, to find a quarterback as a project. But look now, this today in that third round, to get another defensive player as well.
Explain to me how they utilize Reuben Foster. If the rumor is true that the team wants to move from a 3-4 base to a 4-3 base and Navarro Bowman comes back, how do you get Bowman and Foster on the field at the same time?
Flag on the field. Seeing that dips. But anyway, I like
take a breath. Just take a breath. Everyone's getting all worked up.
I knew Dibs was going to get
now we're in third and long, Low. Thanks.
Okay. But I got to play for it. I got to play for third and long.
Make a play.
Fullback dive. That'll pick up one. Punt team.
Joe, go to hell, Joe. No, you got one of these backers going to play the mic. Another one's going to play the will. There's going to be one guy in the middle. Both these two guys in the middle. Will is the weak side. Of course, the mic is a strong side, which he travels with the tight end. That's the strong side. So now what you got now, you got to have a big guy in the middle. That's why you went out and you said, I'm going to have Solly there that's going to make sure that he keeps coming the pressure off. And then you got Buckner, another guy that's a big guy. So what you do, Joe, even in a 3-4, because you got
4-3, you mean?
Okay, in a 4-3. But even if you make that 4-3, sometimes you put in take out a D-line, or if in a 4-3, you slide one of the D-linemen down. So now you have a guy over the nose guard, and you got to have a guy over the guard. So now your linebacker is still free to run. So you can still put both these backers on the field, Mike and Will, and still have these guys be able to run through the ball by having that 4-3, because you want four down linemen and three backers. So you still can keep those guys clean. And Reuben Foster, we know one thing, that he can run. Navarro Bowman can run. So now you protect those guys by keeping those guys up front in the trenches, keeping those big men off those backers.
So of the three linebackers, can you go across the board with Foster, Bowman, and Aaron Lynch? Can you put the three of them on the field at the same time?
Yeah, you can.
And I think would Bowman be the one in the middle?
Yeah, Bowman will be the one. Bowman will be the one in the middle. But you still have, when you have the, when you're using as four, when you're using the four down linemen, one of the down linemen, Joe, will play more of the wide nine in that circumstance, and you'll still have the Sam to the wide side of the field where the tight end is. So you still have an edge rusher, and now the four down lineman is on that tackle playing outside shade. So you'll still have, now you could have Reuben still playing the weak side backer or whichever one you want. So they still can be on the field at the same time. So one of the guys has to be that pass rusher, and the other two guys are going to be the guys that are in there to stop the run.
Robert in San Jose, you've been holding for quite some time. You want to talk about the Raiders and their pick? The floor is yours. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I love the pick. The story that came out about Connolly sounded a little fishy when it was first reported, so I had some apprehension.
We got to cut it. We got to cut it. There's too much noise going on in the background. I'm not sure. Does anyone know what that is?
That's just about a bad cell connection, Joe, is what that is.
All right. Well, Robert, if you can clear up the cell connection, we'd be happy to bring you back onto the program. Good God, it was piercing. Yeah,
that was bad. And we'll
it's like, I want to hear what he has to say, but it's piercing.
He was basically saying that the details of the incident as they come out look fishy, and therefore he thinks it's a solid pick because he doesn't think the Chargers are going to hold up.
I didn't hear that. I heard.
I fought through it, Joe. 20 years in the business.
Yeah,
I got tough ears.
And too, Joe, when we get a chance in here, maybe we can get a little whiteboard and then make a Facebook Live and show what I mean about drop the 4-3 and show where these two backers and how they'll look, and we can get that dialed up.
Sure, there's a whiteboard down the hall that you could go grab and then bring it in here, and I'm sure there's a camera you could set up, and then you could hit play and start filming it, and then you could upload it.
Yeah,
I'd be happy to watch that.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
The insinuation is, someone go get me a whiteboard, get me a phone, and someone set this up.
Where's Melvin?
Where is Melvin?
No, that was just, I was just like, for you know, I think I wasn't trying to make anyone go get it. I was just,
I know. Well, we can absolutely put something like that together. There's a whiteboard over by the office. We can get that. You can put that up and you can do something like that. It'd be a
later,
great video.
Yeah, later.
Facebook Live, you feeling like it?
Absolutely.
It is Friday. I know how Neil loves his Fridays. Can we get you on the board?
Absolutely. We don't have to. I'm just saying later on.
Have to be today.
On some Tuesday or a Wednesday, maybe.
That's all. I was just saying later.
Yeah.
I was just food for thought,
certainly
guys.
Not
I wasn't
Friday.
Trying to think
of I'm with you. It's a great idea, Coach.
How about this? Cancel the show Monday and then come in around 9. Maybe do it from 9 to 9:01, and then, you know, we could be done. Huh. We're back in a minute. Joe Lowe and Dibs, time to break down the Raiders. Light them up, 888-957-9570. You comfortable with the direction the franchise is going with Gary and Connolly stepping in? Kid can play, but there are some concerns. Back in a flash, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.